Previously, I've been talking about expectations, and frankly, I think expectations are tremendously important in that they are the seeds of future occurrences, and they are, in their own nature, magnetic. So our experiences will literally be a result of our expectations, because we will grow them, we will attract energy to feed and nourish and create them. But today I want to shift the focus a little bit to a couple other concepts. More or less is one set of concepts that I want to deal with, and then I'm going to deal with wrong-bad as a concept. And let me throw in a third one, good-right. So those are energy patterns that I'm going to talk about. So what do we expect? We expect more, don't we? We want more energy, we want more love, we want more approval, we want more stuff, we want more happiness. Frankly, we want more of everything. Guess what? It is because we associate more as being good. In our belief systems, more is good, more is right. So what do we intend? The same thing. More. More energy, more love, more approval, more happiness, more stuff, more everything. One more time. Guess what? More is good. More is right. The communication we deliver is for the purpose of more, too. More clarity, more understanding, more closeness, more connectedness, more love, more approval, more success, more everything. As you and I, all of us know, our expectations, intentions, and communication don't always produce more. In fact, they regularly produce less. So if you put less in quotes and more in quotes, you can see what we're talking about here. Less love is a result, less energy, less approval, less stuff, less happiness, less everything except perhaps wrong-bad. We get wrong-bad, and from this point on, I will call it wrong-bad as a single concept. Less is wrong-bad. Less is not what we want, and it is something that we try to avoid. It's interesting to observe that our behavior, but you can also watch other people, and this time of the year is probably an excellent time, maybe even more so than usual, is to be able to look at the behaviors of us in the context of more or less. We can recognize the reaching for more on the physical level, you know, maybe at a dinner table, for instance, or from other behaviors, trying to get attention and so on. So we can see this reaching for more physically, we can see it emotionally, we can see it mentally, and we might even be able to see it on spiritual levels. More is seen as the solution to the problem of less. So if we're struggling with less, then we think, I got the answer to this, I gotta have more. And we try to be more, we try to do more, we try to have more. At the root of it, what we're doing is really, we're seeking energy, we're seeking vibrations, we're seeking frequencies, but we settle for, or are literally misdirected by others, into accepting matter. You know, material things, solid things, instead of looking for the energy. For example, a person looking for love might use food as a substitute. A person looking for safety may go buy a gun. That happens to be a popular thing right about now. Or they might be able to fall prey for an alarm system that's advertised when we get scared by the ADT advertising on TV, for instance. A person looking for intimate connectedness with another person might settle for promiscuity and one-night stands. Being more, doing more, having more are part of the drives of human consciousness. It's part of the human condition. Well, we're not going to do away with them anytime soon, so we can accept that. And the variety that shows up in all of this is, wait a minute, that's really the issue. What more are we looking for? More what? More what? And if we settle for the first answer, it's very easy to go for those things that we can perceive with our five senses. If we can see them, or touch them, or hear about them, or taste them, wait a minute. Is that really the more we're looking for? I don't think so. Here's a phrase that has come to me in my journaling. Burdened by wrong. If we are burdened by wrong, bad, we will be searching for right, good. And how to be right, how to do right, how to have right. Can we own it? Can we own it? And if we own something, can people look at us and go, oh, that guy's good, or that gal is good. Oh, they must be right. They're doing the right things. Literally, a person that has poverty could be having right. They could be doing it because they look at it like this. If that person thinks, oh, wealthy people are wrong for having so much money and apparently worshiping dollars, then that person who has poverty might elevate themselves in their own estimation as being spiritually superior to the person who's wealthy. He may consider himself to be more right compared to them. However, anybody who's experienced it, and I think at some point most of us have, poverty is inconvenient. It's inconvenient because it limits our mobility. And by mobility, I mean our ability to move from place to place, our ability to do things, our ability to influence other people or other energies. It just causes us to, no, that's off limit. I can't do that. I can't afford that. And that phrase, I can't afford that, gets drummed into little children at a very early age, so they accept that as being reality, whereas it happens to be somebody else's interpretation at a moment in time, or it's the indication of somebody else's belief system that we don't necessarily have to adopt as our own. But if we get infected with it, I can't afford it. And that vibration is what we would call in the healing codes, it's the opposite of a truth focus statement. It's the opposite of the information that we want in our experiences. It is the opposite of the seed thought that we want growing in the garden of our consciousness. If we're burdened by wrong bad, we're like a camel that's loaded with a huge number of sticks. You've heard that cliche, right? That was the stick that broke the camel's back. It's like one more stick. Well, if we're like that camel burdened by wrong bad, we're going to be really, really sensitive to our environment and the environmental signals, what people say, what we hear, what we see, what we think, what we intuit. All of that stuff is like we're on hyper alert, we're hyper vigilant in case this is another stick of wrong bad about to be added to our already overburdened consciousness. And we go, no, I can't, and sometimes we say, oh, that person is very defensive. That person is overburdened by wrong bad. That's why they're defensive. They're trying to prevent the addition of more wrong bad to their field because they already think they got more than they can handle. And if you add more, it interferes with their needs being met, their survival, their love, on and on and on. So they're like, no more. And of course, they don't say it like that. They don't say it, no more. They do it in a very fearful or very angry kind of way. Shakespeare said hundreds of years ago, "Nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." I would paraphrase him and say, nothing is either right or wrong, but thinking makes it so. We forget or we overlook that our perceptions are what translate the energy coming to us, those environmental signals, things we perceive through our five senses and perhaps other senses, and boom, we translate them. And that really is the power. Our ability or lack of skill in translating incoming energy signals produces all kinds of stuff. We can produce wrong and bad, or we can produce right and good in our translative capabilities. We misunderstand and we believe that the energy itself coming to us is inherently wrong, bad. I don't believe that to be true. Energy is energy. We are the translators of it. And when we step into that power, instead of thinking that the energy, we have to avoid certain energies, it's like, we can become aware of our capacity for energy. And so this is really a very understandable idea. I have a stepson by a previous marriage who has got some energy or information processing limitations. So he's had experiences where he's seen a violent movie in a movie theater, and it made him sick to his stomach. He, you know, end up going into the bathroom and throwing up because of the violence. So what does that say? He didn't realize he was watching entertainment, or the negative vibrations that were bombarding this kid were so intense, way more than his system could process. And he was like the camel, can't handle that load, consequently had some sort of physical reaction and ended up throwing up. Most of us recognize that sunlight is a normal part of life, but is it right or wrong? Is sunlight good or bad? Now, if you didn't immediately say, in your own mind, it depends. It depends on what? It depends on how the recipient translates that sunlight. A plant would say, depending on what kind of plant it is, sunlight is a good thing. But if it's so intense that the only thing that could endure it would be a cactus, then you know some more delicate flower would go like, wow, this sunlight is bad. A mushroom might say, no, sunlight, not a good idea, too overwhelming, can't really handle it. It's not the sunlight that is good or bad, right or wrong. It's the translative capability of the recipient of the energy, the cactus, the delicate flower, the mushroom, the human being. Some people, fair-skinned people, see sunlight differently than somebody with a darker complexion. Some people love to go to the beach and can stay in the sun all day long at the beach, and other people can do it for about 8 or 10 minutes, and that's pushing the limits of their capacity to handle that on a skin level. It's commonly believed, and I'm reading a book right now that says that one of the main fears of human beings is the fear of criticism. While I think the book is really valuable, it's by Napoleon Hill, recently released. He wrote it years and years and years ago. It's been edited and now released for publication, called Outwitting the Devil. The devil being fear, or depending on how you want to interpret that. But Napoleon Hill says that the fear of criticism is one of the main fears of human beings. But I don't agree. I don't think the problem is criticism. I think the problem is that when words, or any words for that matter, or somebody's look or not looking at us, trigger the vibration of wrong, bad in our energy field. If that wrong, bad is already in our energy field, and somebody has a vibration like that, we can translate that vibration coming at us as wrong, bad, and now we have a problem. If I called you a monkey's uncle, and that was really a common insult when I was a kid, and you don't resonate with it, it won't have any negative effect. You wouldn't take that energy in. But if you have images of wrong, bad that somehow are related to that statement, maybe to uncles, to monkeys, to whatever, anything else that you could possibly associate with that statement, then you could translate that incoming signal, that sound of that statement, you're a monkey's uncle, into something that is emotionally painful. I believe you'd have to have that wrong bad in your energy field in order for it to start resonating with that statement. If you didn't have it, you'd go like, whatever, and it would just either go through your energy field and not meet any resistance at all, or just would never come to you in the first place because you have no magnetic affinity for it. I now wonder if this idea is valid. A person's health, happiness, loving relationships, and success on all levels, spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, are inversely proportional to the amount of wrong bad that they have in their energy field. Let me say that a little bit more simply. The more wrong bad we think, feel, say, and do, and have in our field, the less happy, the less healthy, the less loving, and the less successful we will be. To me, that's the factor. Because that energy is what is interfering with our normal magnetism toward good. What else beside the vibration of wrong bad would push love away, would push health away, would push success and happiness away? I can't think of anything. So, what is the antidote for wrong bad vibrations? I would think, how about right good vibrations? That's hyphenated, right good vibrations. Just like light would be the antidote to darkness. The trap that most people fall into is believing, based upon what they've been trained to believe, it's not like their experiences tell them this, is they've been trained to believe and think in a certain way, so now they filter their experiences, they filter those environmental signals in a certain way, and this is what they misbelieve, that the world is binary. That means everything can be seen as choice of one or two. Between two items, that's it. This is false. Now, it's convenient to use that in certain situations, like computers, right? Zeros and ones. That programming is 0, 1. That's it. 0, 1, 0, 1. Everything is a choice between zeros and ones. Or, some people think it's between yes and no, or up and down, or good and bad, or black and white, or God and devil, or... That's it. That's how they see it. That is a very narrow view. It's like walking through life on a tightrope. I'm doing it right, I'm doing it right, I'm doing it right. One misstep, I'm going to be doing it wrong. I don't think so. There's an enormous range of different vibrational frequencies. And some of those, obviously, we see them manifest physically. Children, say over the age of maybe about 3 years old, know that there is a difference between a carrot and a car, a potato and a piano. At our ages, we should be able to understand that these four items, and all others, are consciousness vibrating at different frequencies. And those that we can see are vibrating at lower levels. The frequencies are lower, so we can see them. They're more solid. Higher vibrations, they become unseen. It wouldn't be difficult to believe that an organ in a person, say a healthy liver in a human being, has a different vibrational frequency than an unhealthy liver in another human being. That wouldn't be difficult to grasp any more than it would be difficult to grasp the difference between a fresh lemon from my lemon tree and a rotting lemon that has fallen to the ground and has started to decompose. You go, is there a difference in the vibration of those two items? I would say, yeah, there would be. We can get that. I say that the vibration of wrong bad leads to failure, failure in health, failure of reaching a point of happiness, failure in relationships, failure with our bodies, failure in work, failure in finances, and ultimately, wrong bad will lead to most deaths. But here's the wonderful point about wrong bad. It is made up by human beings, and we can unmake it up. Wrong bad is just an interpretation of a situation that a person has made up. We imagine it. It is not a fact. Wrong bad is just a conclusion about ourselves, about life, about other people, about God, that we make up. We make it up. We create it. We imagine it, but it's not factually true. This is how to heal it, by realizing at a deep level that right good is also available to us as an interpretation and a conclusion. Adding right good vibrations to our thinking, feeling, speaking, and acting dispels any accumulated vibration of wrong bad. And for those of us who have been accumulating this since conception and probably in lifetimes before that, you'd go, okay, I got to add a lot of right good to my system. Don't we all? Don't we all? But isn't that the game? As we start adding right good to us, and if we can open up in prayer, in meditation, as we do energy modalities, then we can add energies to our field. But when we're frightened, we're afraid, when we're angry, when we're at lower vibration, it becomes very difficult to add new energies to our field, unless they are lower vibration, because we accept them. We accept them as normal, and we accept them as being in harmony with our lower vibrations. If you consider this example, you're going to completely understand that the association of wrong bad is also made up. Thomas Edison, in his experiments, is said to have, on his way to creating the incandescent light bulb, to have failed over 9,000 times. He had 9,000 wrong attempts to create an incandescent light bulb. Isn't it amazing? Haven't you ever wondered this? How could a guy survive so much wrong? Here's the answer. He didn't interpret the wrong as bad. He interpreted it as good, as learning, as guiding him to other avenues to explore for the goal that he desired, to create a light bulb. Okay, good, this doesn't work. Oh, good, this doesn't work. Oh, good, this doesn't work. And you go, wow, that's right. That's right. That's a mark of successful people. They can have experiences and learn from them without converting them into bad that toxify their system. So why do we suffer so much from the wrong bad connection? Because we're taught by people who are infected with wrong bad. Parents, teachers, religious people, particularly I think, priests, ministers, and others force us to believe this arbitrary association, and it is arbitrary. This arbitrary association, which has been made up by human beings, and they say, it is God's will, and therefore it's unchangeable. Wrong bad. That association is superstition. It's superstition. It is what puts people into fear, and it disempowers us. People, you and me, need to grasp this concept. Beliefs, no matter how often they're repeated, no matter how many people are repeating them, no matter how loud those people are repeating them, they're still only beliefs. Everybody can make up and have their own beliefs, because beliefs are just that. They're made up. But for a lot of us, we've been handed a lot of beliefs. Hey, I got a belief for you. believe this, believe this, believe this, believe me, believe this, believe this, believe this. And that is drilled into us. Those things are hammered into us from the earliest moments of our existence, drilled into us. If we each were to look at the conditions in our lives, spiritual conditions, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance conditions, we will immediately know if our beliefs are serving us. That's my belief. On the other hand, some people can have this. A person can believe that having lousy conditions in their lives, suffering tremendously, is God's will. But at the root, that belief, you're going to find wrong, bad in that person's consciousness as the justification for all the ills that they're suffering. If you believe that your God is oriented toward wrong, bad, notice that you were taught that belief. You didn't come to that conclusion on your own. As a little child looking around at kittens and puppies and flowers and frogs and tadpoles and summertime and snowflakes, and you didn't come to the conclusion that God was really, really keeping an eye out for bad stuff, looking to punish people for wrong. You were taught that. I was taught that. If you want to upgrade your beliefs about God, and I recommend we all do that on a continual basis, because we're trying to expand our consciousness to something that is way beyond our own consciousness level, I suggest that we look around at life and validate those final points that say that God or divine consciousness is always providing those nine elements that Christ refers to in Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth as the truth of existence. And he deals with this in letter one. And he says, he recognized out in the desert after being baptized by John that divine consciousness was always seeking to provide to its creations growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, all within a spiritual system of law and order, the law of cause and effect, which we know commonly as we reap what we sow. We can sow right good as much as we want. We can even sow wrong good and learn from it. It is the good that we can harvest. All we have to do is look for it in ourselves and look for it in others. Look for it in the conditions that we've already experienced. Look for it in the ongoing conditions that are unfolding around us. This is what exists. And now we've got the antidote to darkness. We've got the antidote to ill health. We've got the antidote to unhappiness. We have the antidote to lack of love coming to us, working for us, and coming through us. I would like to end the service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.